Okay.
Closer to you.
Okay, like this?
Yeah. And that is me. And can you speak? Just
I
us?
can. Hi, how are you?
Not like that. Yeah, okay. I think my audio is slightly higher than yours.
Do you want me to lower?
No, I need just.
Everyone, meet my cat.
There we go. We are
Hi.
finally functional.
Are we functional?
Yes.
Okay.
Let's go. Okay. Just for the edit.
Sorry.
Three, two, one.
Yeah, boy. Okay, so it is, I'm just gonna say the date, the 29th of November, and it's 9:04 p.m. And we are in my humble abode because, interesting story. So I filmed with Dad in the studio this morning. I filmed the 40 Rules of Love Part 3. So just to give you guys context of where we're at. And in the episode, if you watch it, you'll see that I said we have a surprise coming for you. And this is it. I decided to have an at-home studio. And without further ado, Neetu is here. The OGs will remember.
Finally, hello. I know you guys missed me.
Yeah. So Neetu was here. If you guys remember OG OG, like when me and my dad and Neetu were filming at the first studio I ever filmed at, and she was
I was your video producer.
you were my video producer,
Yeah.
but you were also, so you know how, okay, so my dad's my conscience, obviously, with conversations with my conscience, but you were,
The devil's advocate.
there we go, that's the word I was looking
Yep.
for. She was the, yeah, I know it's what I'm supposed to do, but like sometimes I feel this, or
Yeah.
sometimes my impulse is this, which is obviously what everyone goes through every day,
Exactly.
right? If you guys hear a little bit of, just for,
She's just going to town. I'm pretty sure everybody knows that Lila has a cat. So the
my little
cat
baby.
there right now, as you may see, the set where Lila's sitting, it's pristine. It looks gorgeous. She
It's all
looks
thanks to
gorgeous.
you.
But behind, we have a mess to clean
Yeah, guys,
up.
there's boxes on boxes. I just one day in my head I looked at my dad and I was like, I'm building a studio at home.
Yep.
And he was like, okay, Habibi, do it. The next day, bought everything. And I
Yep.
just called him. I was like, done, you know? But then my dumb ass and my friend Ali from Jordan were trying to set this all up yesterday. And even my neighbor Sally came to help, and we were like dumb, dumb and dumber. Dumber and dumbest. Like, you should have seen us. But Neetu came within a few minutes, just set this all up. Honestly, angel. Even little things like this throw that you said to put here, and like
Yeah.
the stack of books. Honestly, God bless you. Thanks, babes.
Of course, this is what I'm here for. I create the aesthetic, I create the vibes.
Yeah,
So
fairy
if you
godmother.
am I though?
Yeah.
I like the fairy godmother is a very positive thing, right? I'm the devil's advocate. She's back.
Yeah, but modern day fairy godmother.
Modern day fairy god,
Yeah,
yeah.
like I always say, I'm a modern day villain.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, I'm definitely like Disney villain, 1000%.
You know what? I think both of us are like very Slytherin vibes.
I'm 1000%. Okay, so have you read the books?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So people who've read the books would know that Slytherin is the best house.
Yes.
It's not like it is in the movies. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Gryffindor is actually the most annoying house.
The why did why do you have your stick up and think that everything that has to be right is right? No, come on. Ambition and passion. Come on, guys.
Slytherin. 1000% House Slytherin. 1000%.
1000%. I'm Slytherin
I'm,
too.
babe, wait. Right now, I have, actually, speaking of Harry Potter, I have my little Dobby mug here. But I have two Slytherin mugs
I have a
in.
Slytherin mug,
Yeah.
yeah, too.
Did you see that Harry Potter store in Mall of the Emirates?
Yeah, and there's one in MOE as well.
Mall of the Emirates.
Oh, sorry. It's been a long day. It's been a long week, guys.
It's
I'm
okay.
sorry.
My lipstick.
My lipstick brings all the booze to the yard. The
All right.
audio sounds so good. I'm listening to it
Does
right now.
it?
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's so
This is
exciting.
great. This is
If you
great.
do the echo, does it sound?
Yeah,
Like, will it?
if you want to
That's
play, if you
crazy.
want to play with it
Later.
later, not now. Okay, so I have a topic.
Okay,
Okay,
get into it.
let's talk about well, I tried to explore this idea with somebody else, but it didn't really work out.
Okay, go for it.
And I want to know your take on it.
Okay.
So you know how there are different attachment styles in a relationship,
mm-hmm.
right? It doesn't necessarily have to be a romantic relationship. It can be any kind of relationship.
Yes.
Right? So what I've learned is there's an anxious attachment style,
mm-hmm.
an avoidant attachment style, and a secure one, mm-hmm. right? So now, creating, most of the times what they say is that an anxious attachment style is most likely to create an attachment with an avoidant person.
Absolutely.
And these attachment styles are created because of your inner childhood wounds.
Yes.
Your inner child is wounded. They have their woes and wows. And that's why the fear of abandonment or the fear of criticism,
yes.
and all of these things, they just kind of bleed into your adult life.
Mm-hmm.
And this, it's not just with a partner, a romantic partner. It also creates this, it ripples into your work.
Mm-hmm.
You try to seek gratification, not even gratification, sorry.
Validation.
Try to seek validation from every single person in your life. Mm-hmm. And you feel really abandoned when bad people also leave your life. You don't know the impact. So how would you exactly, like, you know, if you did meet in person with an anxious attachment style, with a lot of fear of abandonment, with a lot of need for validation, a lot of need of security, and immense amount of insecurity about being alone and all of the, like, you know, a fear of being alone and everything, what would you say to them?
Oh, my kitty's here again. Hi, boo-boo. What would I say? Before we get into that, because you said something really interesting when you were saying about the attachment styles. You were saying it's because of inner child
wounds,
childhood trauma. Mm-hmm. And then you said something else, bismillah.
About the fear of abandonment and criticism.
So before answering that question, is you have to take it a step back, right?
Mm-hmm.
With the attachment styles, okay? And bismillah, no, you said something important. I don't want to miss it.
Secure attachment style?
You said secure, you said avoidant,
secure,
and you said
anxious.
But then you said something. You said the inner childhood trauma, and then you said one more thing, and I thought it reminded me of a point that's really important.
It bleeds into your other aspects of life. It's not just about your romantic partner.
Eh, we'll get into it. But anyway, with the attachment styles, I think it's really important to also, you said, there we go, right? You said someone who is anxious attachment will usually attract someone who is
avoidant.
Yes. And I wanted to ask you, but I didn't want to interrupt you. Do you know the reason that happens? Do you know why it happens that you usually...
No, I couldn't crack that one.
So you usually attract someone who will always re-embody what hurts you. Especially when you're not healed. So Eckhart Tolle, and I've said this before, mm-hmm. Eckhart Tolle has his book, The Power of Now.
It's right here. That little baby.
He has a book called The Power of Now, okay? Mm-hmm.
Girl, come on now. I know you ain't trying to do this. Was she scratching?
She is.
Oh, we can't hear that.
No, it's not my couch. It's okay if you don't hear it. I'd like to keep my couch.
You know, you should get one of them scratch pad thingies and just stick them onto. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Just have her on there.
Ooh.
You tell me, kitty. Why do anxious people attract avoidant people?
So Eckhart Tolle, in his book, The Power of Now, he talks about something called a pain body, right? Mm-hmm. And the pain body is basically your childhood trauma or some trauma that you have that is a body, an entity within you. Mm-hmm. And you gave the example of, for example, fear of abandonment, fear of being alone. Let's assume that I have a fear of abandonment. And my pain body is the fear of being abandoned, right? Mm-hmm. I will continuously put myself in positions and attract people who reinforce that pain body. And then the ego allows myself to excuse myself and then be like, see, need to abandon me. No wonder I have a fear of abandonment. And it's a vicious cycle.
Okay.
And the hole gets deeper and deeper unless you have a rude awakening to the fact that, hold up, I'm attracting someone who is literally just exposing my wounds.
Mm.
But there's a beauty with wounds being exposed. You recognize that there's a problem that needs healing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that was an important thing that I wanted to say. So if you find yourself, if you have recognized the type of attachment style that you have and you've recognized, oh, I keep attracting someone that's literally doing this to me, then you now realize that there's a wound that needs to be healed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how you go about healing, this is a faith-based podcast. I always say find a relationship with God at any capacity.
Mm-hmm.
Like, honestly, build a relationship with God. Whatever it that looks like for you, just do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You need to have... Is she playing with the cord?
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. The cat is just
She was not here for the first 2 hours that I came.
I know. Nito kept going like, where is she?
Where is the cat? And now
I told you she'd come out.
And now we're, she knows. She's like, this is the time I need. Oh.
She's just like, let me cause chaos.
Yeah, she just wants to bite every cable that's hanging.
And do you know that she's nameless? My friend suggested I name her Onyx. And it's cute, but it's just, I don't know. I was thinking maybe Nala, but from Lion King. But Nala is not her color.
She's not her color, no.
Scar is her color. Jeremy Irons, love that man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, she's nameless. Mm-hmm. No, like toothless, nameless.
Ooh, I like that. So that's her name. Nameless.
Nameless? That's so evil. Told you, modern day villain. But bismillah, to go back ala the attachment styles. So mm-hmm. subhanAllah, I was going to mention this on my podcast today with Dad, but we were discussing something else. Mm-hmm. And I have a friend who said something, bro, that blew my mind, mm-hmm. okay? And it's so simple and so clear. But sometimes you just need to be hit in the face with just a plain truth. You know what I mean?
Right.
And this really good friend of mine, she called me up one day and she just said, I've realized something. I'm not an anxious girl. I love life. I love being in the present. I'm not a fan of anxiety. And I'm just, by my nature, not an anxious person. Mm-hmm. I was dating people who were avoidant with their style, with mm-hmm. their attachment style, and that rendered me anxious. Because I have no problem just sitting and having a conversation and healing what needs to be healed. We can do it. Mm. Or even if we need to take a little break, cool off, and come back. Mm-hmm. It's the reassurance and the... In the back of your mind, you trust the partner enough to know, we'll come back and we'll figure it out, you know? But when you're with someone who's avoidant and who doesn't... Avoidants are cowards to me because you're constantly running away and avoiding.
Yeah, you're running away from your emotions.
Mm.
Yeah.
And you're running away from the truth. You're running away from the mm-hmm. present. Mm-hmm. You have something that needs to be dealt with now. But she that realization was very interesting because she's just like, I'm not an anxious girl. I was with people that made me anxious because of their attachment styles. And I refuse to be with, to entertain anyone who's an avoidant attachment style. She's like, I refuse it. Friend, partner, whatever it is, I rebuke you. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And subhanAllah, when she made that conscious decision, mm-hmm. the script flipped. She's now with someone, and they're about to get married, who is... the opposite of avoidant. I think it's secure because they're both now. Yeah. It's just the awakening when you recognize what it is. Because how many times have you been with someone that makes you question, why am I feeling this way? Why am I feeling this way? Why do they make me feel this way?
Exactly.
And then one day you realize, wait, it's not them that are making me feel this way. I'm allowing them to make me feel this way. Right? Mm. And then you have that rude awakening of, wait, I don't like how they deal with life. I don't like how they deal with me. I need someone who reassures me, and they don't reassure me, you mm-hmm. know? And they might not be an evil person, but they're just not the one for you. And sometimes it's that simple. Right. It's just that you're not the worst person in the world. You're not an abusive narcissist. In some cases, it's not that big. It's just that we're not for each other. Mm. Sometimes it's just that simple. But how do you recognize these simplicities when you have enough self-awareness? Mm. An awareness, sorry, excuse me, to recognize what it is that you need. And today on my podcast with my dad... Mm. I was saying something and he just looked at me and then kept going, right? And I was like, no, I just said something. I need you to acknowledge what I said, otherwise it makes me doubt, like, did I say something good or something bad? Mm-hmm. And then he was like, oh, you need reassurance? And I was like, you know what, hell yeah, I do. Yeah. Because I know I'm like a tough cookie and all of that, but I really realized that I'm just a girl. I want that. Hell yeah, I want my man to reassure me. Now, this was my dad, but in general, like the male figures in my life, yeah, I want that reassurance.
Exactly,
because
yeah.
My dad's my mentor.
Yeah.
Obviously, I do this with him. You know what I mean? And yeah. And he taught me everything I know. I'm just a drop in the ocean that is his wisdom. So right. Obviously, getting a pat on the back of like, hell yeah, you did it. You know, mm-hmm. It feels good. You know, but it, and again, I'm not a saint. I'm only human. Mm-hmm. So I have recognized that in order for me to be happy with whoever, inshallah, my future husband will be, I need that reassurance. You can tell me you love me all day long. I don't get enough of it. You know what I mean? Yeah,
exactly.
But I'll be the same. I'm going to want to love you all the time. It's just, why not? Bro, life's my favorite book in the world, movie, mm-hmm. is Pride and Prejudice. I can recite it like back mm-hmm. of my... Bro, mm-hmm. I know that movie by heart. My sister laughs mm-hmm. when I put it on and I'm just like mouthing mm-hmm. the words. She thinks I'm psychotic. But... And even my dad, I showed him a few clips from the movie and he just like bawled. We're hopeless romantics. I love love. Life's too short.
Exactly.
be obsessed with me and let me be obsessed with you in a healthy way.
Yeah.
Obsessed just means pay good attention to me and let me pay good attention to you with the best intentions. Like, why not?
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, why not?
Mm-hmm.
Life's too short. What do you mean? I'm not trying to...
That's true. But then, okay, now let's talk about the avoidant people, right?
Yeah.
We've established how, okay, we've established how anxious people can, like,
at least... Are you anxious or avoidant?
If I'm
you
don't mind anxious.
Yeah, I figured.
I'm anxious.
Okay.
Because, to be honest, like, I may come off as a very masculine woman. I have certain masculine behavior, mannerisms, and everything.
You're alpha.
I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say that because I'm not that confident yet. I used to be. I don't know. I used to be. Like, holy shit, the beginning of this year, when you knew me, I was, like, I'm not saying I was, like, a healed, self-actualized person.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that. But I had a lot of confidence.
Yeah.
I did. And I felt so good and all of that. And it broke down because the one person that I really wanted to get a lot of assurance from, a lot of security from, reassurance, anything.
Yeah.
I didn't get it.
So just before we go into that, I just wanted to say, you saying now that you had that confidence, I wanted to tell you it was one of the main things that attracted me to you, you know, and why I was like, no, I want that girl.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I always requested you when I was filming at Potster. And there was just something about your vibe that was just, I could see the wounded because wounded recognizes wounded. Like, you can't be wounded and on the journey of self-actualization and healing and not be able to recognize it in everyone around you.
People who are going through the same thing as you.
Thank you. So I saw that, and, you know, game recognizes game. Yeah. I always say this.
Yeah.
But that, it oozed out of you. I wouldn't say the confidence, but I would say the healing that made you confident.
Yeah.
Because when I thought I was confident before,
mm-hmm.
that was just fake. You could pop that like a balloon.
Right, yeah.
You know? Mm. But through God, like with, in my case, with the healing, like, I really feel confident.
Yeah.
Like, there are certain things where I'm like, no, I know what I'm talking about.
I know
about.
What I'm like, yeah. I'm saying what I'm saying, and I know what I know.
I said what I said, and I meant what I...
Yeah, sorry, that's my sister.
That was a different sound.
I need to take this. Sorry.
Pause. Do it. You good, boo?
Yeah, that was my sister. I was supposed to... So, her husband is in China right now doing business.
Is this the sister that gave birth quite recently?
Yes. Mm, oh, God, baby. That baby is... Like, I'll tell you... See, these are the things that, like, kind of changed for me this year, right?
Yeah.
Coming into this year, I was feeling myself. I loved me and my skin. I was just like, I woke up every day and I'm like, I'm going to kill it at work no matter what happens. Don't
like,
me off.
Best foot forward kind of attitude.
Best foot forward. I woke up with a winning attitude.
Yeah.
Right? And then there are the things that happen at work that really killed me, like killed my ego, because I'm the only female working in an office full of male operators. Like,
Are you?
Yeah, I'm the only woman.
You are the only woman.
I used to be. Now there's now we hired another woman, and thank God for her. But, like, for the longest time, I was the only woman. And I was the only person, like, only member on the team that used to step up and take up a lot of responsibilities and a lot of things that the manager could trust me with.
Mm.
And when it came to, like, implementing some of those, like hell of a, the other guys wouldn't listen to me. Because they're like, why should we listen to you? Like, you're not
you
a boss.
Weren't a managerial role.
I was not
yeah,
but then I was given managerial responsibilities. You see, with the
Taylor's oldest time.
Yeah.
Truly. Friend number 20 this week to say this to me.
I'm like, did I complete all those things? Did I do it to the best of my abilities? Are they being implemented right now?
Yeah.
Yes. But do I get any kind of rep, like, you know, anything for doing all of that? No. Do I get money? Am I getting paid? No. Am I getting the respect that I need to be getting? No.
I understand. That messed with you.
It messed with me.
Plus with what you said about there was the one person that you wanted certain...
Yes. And that messed
certain
with me.
Acts of love.
Exactly.
And you didn't receive it.
Exactly.
Did you... Okay. So with the job, that's a different thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say one thing, though. And because now that I own my own company...
Mm-hmm.
I in retrospect, I mm-hmm. see this. Everything I went through, being like a slave in corporations mm-hmm. and going the extra mile and never being validated for it and all of that,
mm-hmm.
I'm very grateful for it. It really gave me that because this part is the participation trophy thing. It's not, it doesn't get you far in life.
Exactly.
Like, you have to realize that sometimes you're gonna be the best in a company and someone else is gonna take the credit for it. It's just part of life.
I hate that.
Just part of life, you know? And then one day when, because here's the thing, you're not gonna be where you are forever. One day you will be a manager. One day you will be in a senior exec position. One day you might own your own thing.
Mm-hmm.
Learning these things is what enables you to be then the best boss that you can be. Because mm-hmm. I'm very conscious of, yeah, you can't treat your employees the way you were treated. Like, that's not a thing. I am tough love. Sorry, she was like scratching the cat, and the cat literally just was like noodle, and then just slid off the couch. this nameless is gonna be chaotic.
Nameless is gonna be, come on. Yeah. She's got that toothless energy.
She has that toothless
energy.
She's
such toothless energy.
Did you see that they're making a live action?
Yeah, the live action one.
Can we go watch it together?
Yes, please.
Please. Can we watch Wicked?
Can we watch Wicked?
Can we? I'll go watch Wicked right now.
Let's do it.
We're gonna wrap this up, but babe, Roxy Cinema, because I do the chair and the lounge.
Okay, cool.
Cinema's an experience.
I'll get the
tickets. My treat. Yeah, boy.
Let's watch Wicked.
Oh my God, I love. Ugh, their press tour has been hilarious, but
no, come on, man. I never like. I've watched like clips, and the way Ariana's acted, and like the kind of like she's still herself. Like I can still see like you know, Ari from Nickelodeon days and all of that, and she still brought that, and she's just so much more cohesive. And you,
I've never seen her on Nickelodeon. Listen, I'm just not over the fact that she and Ethan Slater are together. Like, you will never sell me on that. You will never sell me on that dweeb. Like, it's just not a thing.
Like, I think of the last, like, relationship that I supported of hers was with, what was the guy's name who died?
Mac Miller,
yeah. Oh. They were cute. They were so cute together.
Yeah.
Come Even on. Her real estate boyfriend, like, I supported that. Like, that was cute.
Oh, her ex-husband.
Yeah.
Hi, baby.
Oh, her eyes look so good.
Yeah.
In the light right now.
She's an angel.
She's nameless.
Hi, baby.
Guys, I think we should comment for names.
Yeah, let me know what you want to name her. Okay. Hi, baby. But yeah, what were we saying?
Before Wicked. Now that's all I can think about.
Defying gravity is like the best thing in the world. But anyway. Yeah. So you were saying about work and stuff.
Yeah.
Back to the attachment styles.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you were saying that's what.
Not with that. Please.
No. Hey.
Not with
that. No. Hey.
She just wants to play around the set. We started. She had. She had an hour and a half to mess up the set. Now she wants to play with things that are important.
Aib, baby. Aib. Wallahi. Fadahtina. Embarrassing us in front of my people.
Okay. Right. The attachment styles.
So back to your initial question, which was, how would you handle someone who's avoidant?
Yeah.
I've softened since you've last recorded mm-hmm. with me. I've softened. I used to tell... my previous answer would have been, I don't.
Yeah. I was just going to say that. I'm just like, I know... I felt like you were going to be like, I wouldn't attract something like that anymore.
I wouldn't say I wouldn't attract. I wouldn't... Listen. I wouldn't say... I would have.
Yeah.
But my ego's been humbled.
Really?
Yeah. What because, babe, God always tests you. Even when you're doing great, and even when I tell you I wouldn't attract someone like that,
mm-hmm.
God may send someone like that into my life. Just to test, am I powerful enough to make it through?
Mm.
Am I strong enough not to fall into old habits and old behaviors and old patterns?
Right.
Am I disciplined enough? Is my moral compass powerful enough
mm-hmm.
not to be swept into old tides and
sure, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's very easy for me to tell you, yeah, I wouldn't attract the toxic person anymore or someone who would bring anxiety forth into my life. That's an easy claim to make. But and even if it were true, would you think God won't test my claims? Every claim you ever make, the God and the universe will test you.
Mm-hmm.
You claim you're kind, God will test you. You claim you're patient, God will test you. You claim you are a problem solver, God will test you. You claim you are grateful, God will test you. And not in the ways that you think. If you claim gratitude, he will take from you just to see if you're genuinely grateful.
I believe that. I'm starting to see that pattern in my life right
now.
Yeah.
So I'm very careful of what I claim I am, because who's going to check me? You might not come check me. You might be weak. I might be stronger. You might not be in the mood. You know what I mean? But you best believe God's going to check me. And thank God that he does. It means he loves me. It means he cares about my soul. It means he cares about what I'm saying and that my actions match the words.
I love that you were making a powerful statement right there. And your cat decides just... to be, you know what? Loony.
She's having it. Yeah.
Loony.
My dad will kill me. You know, I wanted to call her Luna. He's like, she's not crazy. I'm like, Jesus. Okay.
Loony. She is. Look at her. Look at her. She wants to eat power cables.
She just wants to eat everything. She just bites into cables.
Just feed her.
Can we feed her? Baby, walla khalas. Fadahtina. But yeah. If you don't think God will test you, you're a fool. Just, babe, just look at the trajectory of your life, you know? But how would I deal with avoidance? Generally speaking, even till today, I'll tell you I wouldn't. Because I don't have time for that. And I don't want to have time for that. I'm trying to elevate. I'm trying to open my third eye. I'm trying to meet God. I'm trying to learn, you know? And for someone to come and bring their baggage into my life at this day and age, I'm just like, what? خلاص, you know? If you have baggage, because we all do, but I see the willingness to do better. I see the yearning to want change. I see the need to instill God into your life so that you can figure out all of these big things that are just going on, you know? I'll support that because I have that. That's my dad for me. You think I don't have feelings or I don't feel some type of way sometimes or I don't get weak or I don't or I don't falter? Of course I do. But my dad's that kind of dude for me. But also, my dad's very tough love. When I call him and I say something, when I call him and I say something, he'll just be like, yeah, okay, you're just having a little moment. And I'll be like, bro, listen to me. He's like, no, you're just having a moment. I'm not gonna feed it.
Yeah.
You want to kill something? You starve it. You want to kill your ego? You starve it. You want to kill your negativity? You starve it. You starve yourself from complaining.
I love that.
You don't allow yourself to complain. You want to kill a negativity in your life? You starve the living daylights out of it because it has nothing to survive off of. You want to change your negative mentality? You stop complaining. You stop hanging around people who complain. You starve it. You literally cut the cord of its nutrition. What it will wither away and die. What else will it do? You know?
But here's the thing, though. You need to have a really strong-willed mind to be able to cut off people like that. I feel like that the getting to that point where you're like, you know what? I don't care. This person, I don't have baggage. I don't have the space and the time for this person's baggage to be infiltrated into my life and for me to give all that time and effort. I don't have the time for it. I need to cut them off. But the thing is, for some people, attachment gets in the way. Like, you know, you feel a certain way about this. There's something.
Attachment is literally, my dad and I have said this before. I'm so sorry I interrupted you. It is literally a form of insecurity. If you are attached to someone, it's because you have lack of self-confidence and you are seeking something externally. And in Islam, we have a very, very strong rule of you should not be attached to anyone and anything but Allah. You know what I mean? That doesn't mean you're not grateful for the gifts he sent you. Doesn't mean you don't respect and appreciate the people he sends in your way that elevate your life and bring blessings with them. Because some people are energy carriers. They either bring good or they bring bad, right? But you are only attached to Allah. And you recognize that everything good comes from him and everything negative is just a test from him to test your will and your ma'dan and your moral compass and your discipline just to be closer to him. You fail that test. Here's how I see it. You fail a test, you're back on your knees crawling back to God. You succeed a test and you have that self-actualization, you're again back on your knees grateful to God.
Yes.
That's how I see it. I change the lens. Everything I do and everything I aspire to be and every test and every little nook and cranny in my life takes me back to God. Either in a negative sense from myself where I've faltered or I've strayed and I'm back on my knees. Here I am again. Ya Rabbi, please forgive me. You know? Which he always says, come again. Always. Rumi has the poem on his poem. And it's on his grave. It says, it basically says, come again. No matter where you go, no matter what you do, no matter how far you think you've fallen, God always says, come again. So that's number one. Number two is when I succeed. Who else do I want to celebrate with, bro? God. I wouldn't be anywhere if it wasn't for him. Anywhere. None of this came from me. What do you mean?
Yeah, that's true.
None of this. I haven't achieved anything without him. And I don't want to achieve anything without him. So to me, that's where it's at, right? So with the avoidant, and you're saying about have, you need to, you were saying,
be strong-willed enough to be able to cut that person off.
I'll tell you one thing about that. Pick your heart. Yeah, it's hard to be attached to someone toxic, right? Mm. It's, no, sorry. The other way. It's the other one that I need to start with.
Don't do that.
Yeah, yeah, I know. Sorry about that. Okay. My answer to that would be pick your heart. Mm-hmm. It's hard to let go of someone you're attached to. That's what you were saying, right? Mm-hmm. But it's also hard to stay with someone, a friendship or a partner, mm-hmm. someone who's toxic and just...
let them leech into your life, yeah.
Yeah. And you said something really important. Let them. You are allowing them, mm-hmm. you know? So pick your heart. Yeah, bro, it was really hard when I was attached to the worst people. Mm-hmm. But I was a punching bag. I was a yes man, people pleaser, a rebel because I was so misunderstood. I drove my parents crazy. Mm. Bro, my parents are going to heaven because of what I put them through. Wallah. Gotcha. You know, first class ticket to heaven because of what I put them through. But pick your heart. That was harder. Mm. That was harder. The first time I ever cut off someone toxic, I thought I was like going to die. The hyperventilation.
Really?
The panic. Mm. But when that's it. The first time was the hardest. Mm-hmm. But then when you see the quality of your life elevate. Mm.
Fair.
I would say pick your heart.
Because I think everybody deserves to have people.
My feet don't show, right?
No.
Okay, sorry to interrupt you.
OnlyFans.
Bro, I saw a reel. It was so funny. It was these two girlfriends that were like, when someone slides into your DMs offering like $1,000 for feet pics or thousands of dollars for feet pics, and your friends got you, but it was they weren't actually gonna do it. They were just being funny. Mm-hmm. And they were literally like on the bed, and she was putting like toe rings on her. Her feet were gorgeous, by the way. But she just did a funny reel, and then someone commented like, "Yo, did you actually?" She's like, "No, I didn't send the pics. It just inspired this video." It was so funny. It was so funny.
Yo. But anyways, coming back, what was I saying?
Pick your heart.
Yeah. Oh, no, before that. After that. But...
oh, I'm sorry. I interrupted you.
I do. Feet pics. No, I don't think about his feet pics. Oh, shit. Brain fart moment.
It's okay. I was saying pick your heart. Mm.
Yeah. I forgot what I was going to say. I quite literally forgot what I was going to say.
It's okay.
We're done here. No, I can't get that thought back. But
it's okay. You'll have other thoughts and it'll come back.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just think it's pick your heart. It's so hard to be. It's hard until it's not, though, right? Because one of the hardest things I ever had to do. Mm. It's not even had to, actually. One of the hardest things I ever put myself through was being attached to a toxic entity. Was being attached to a person who didn't wish well upon me, was being attached to someone who didn't care if I lived or died. Mm. It was one of the hardest things I ever had to do, because the rude awakening of you feel like you're ripping your heart out of your chest to satisfy and please this person that could not care less about you. Mm. And it's just me. It had nothing to do with them. And it had everything to do with me.
Right, yeah.
You know?
So what I was planning, what I remember what I had to say was,
you go, girl.
I think everybody deserves to have people in their life that have a healthy obsession with them.
I agree. And I know what you mean by obsession. Some people be like, no, obsession's never healthy, but I get what you mean by obsession.
Like, but when I say healthy obsession, I'm just saying, like, you know, I am a hopeless romantic. Like, I was raised on old school Bollywood movies.
Oh.
Like, when, just to name names, when Shah Rukh Khan is, you know, comes, arrives in a field of lilies and has a guitar, like, he's playing his guitar and he's like, come, babe. Like, you know, he's there and the heroine just, like, runs to him. Like, I was raised on that. I was raised on these outward acts of love.
Like,
and
over the grand gestures. Yes, yeah, yeah.
Right? And how, like, you know, and even when it comes to, like, I'm Indian. We know what the big fat Indian wedding is. I grew up wanting these things. I grew up wanting a husband that would be like, you know, who would cry when I walk in.
Really?
You know, like, the whole thing, like the whole shebang.
Okay, you didn't know? Strike me as that. Because I'm like that.
Right?
Vibes.
Because, see, inside me, like inner, like what I want on the inside is, yes, this is what I want.
Just love.
I just want love. I want to be there. I want to have this person who knows me through thick and thin,
yeah,
and who is willing to handle everything that I put myself through,
yeah,
and just not. I don't want somebody. I need somebody who's like, not empathetic to a fault, but who is there to realize that okay, what she needs right now is she just needs the, like, a ear to listen, a shoulder to rest her head on, someone to hug her at the end of a rough day. That's it.
Yeah,
that's it. And I think everybody wants that.
But, I do.
Right. Even people with avoidant attachment styles, at the end of the day, that's what they want. They want the same thing. It's just that they have a hard time receiving it. Because they grew up in a household where they were told that your emotions aren't valid.
Yeah.
That, you know, we don't care how you feel. You can't cry. You can't do this. We need solutions now. And they were critiqued on everything that they were doing. Right? And that's why they were like, okay, fine. You know what? I'm not going to feel these emotions that I'm feeling right now. Because I need to finish a thing that would help, that would, okay, like if I have a task to do and then they're like, I don't want to hear your excuses and all of these things, they'll just finish the task. Like, you know, forget their emotions, just finish what they have to do just to hear that, okay, fine, you did a good job or an okay job. And
I get what you're saying. So I have just one thing about that. I get what you're saying. Obviously, we're a product of our environment and and the sum of the five people we surround ourselves with, and exactly. God knows what your parents, how they were when... how they raised you. Were they great? Were they not so great? Were they present? Were they not? Were they helicopter parents? There's a million and a thousand, a hundred, a bajillion things that factor into who you are today.
Exactly.
And I, you know this because I've said this on one of our episodes before, I think, where it's just like, I don't care. Because I've reached the point, it's like, you're old enough, get it together. You need to stop. You know, and then some people will tell you, you can't say that. Some people grew up with parents who beat them. And yeah, of course. And it's freaking horrible. You know, I think parents should like be a little strict with their kids. I think a little spanking every now and then does good for your children. You know what I mean? You know, because this whole gentle parenting thing blows my mind. But like, obviously, we're talking about parents who like beat the crap out of their kids. Yeah. Right. Like, obviously, there are some parents out there that are. I've heard horror stories. So I'm with you, you know, but then also. If we keep saying that excuse of you don't know what they've been through when they're 25 and when they're 30 and when they're 35 and when they're 40.
And they're still not like dealing with the problems, like, or they haven't like taken a step towards their own healing.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
Like, okay, recognize that you have a string of failed relationships or a string of so many things. There is a pattern.
Yeah.
If you see that there's a problem, if you're facing the same thing over and over again, then check yourself.
And then also... I agree. I really agree. But then there's also some people will claim to be on the path of self-actualization and healing. But one little thing takes them 10 steps back. Or they'll tell you, you know, I am trying to heal, but I also went through one, two, three. And I get it. Healing is a never-ending journey. But to me, there's just a limit with how much can we play the victim card.
Amen. Oh.
How... Honestly, what is the expiration date and what is the limit on a victim card? You know, because have certain people been through some atrocious things? Of course. And it should never happen, but it does. This dunya is designed to test you. And you can throw a rock in any direction and hit a million people, bro, that'll tell you a story that'll shatter your heart. You will literally question, what is this world we live in? But such is life. This is a part of life. That's why we focus on empathy. That's why we focus on healing. That's why we focus on building a relationship with Allah. Because things are going to happen to you. They're going to happen to you. It is inevitable. Get that straight in your brain quickly. Yes. Quickly get over the denial. Like, let's just move past that. But it's after what matters. It's how you handle the hurdles. It's what you do with the pain. You know? Because there are people out there that have created magic through pain. And there are people out there that have created crimes and are serial killers through that pain. Pick your poison. Pick your heart, because we all go through things. And if you think you have it bad, someone has it way worse. And if you think you have it good, someone has it way better.
Oh, say that again.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? we need to check ourselves. Mm. Like, one of the best things I ever did, I wouldn't even say me, I take that back. One of the best things that ever happened to me is when I realized, fight it all you want, Layla. This is life. Things are not always going to go your way. You're going to go through some hardships. People are going to disrespect you. People are going to try to walk all over you. People are going to come lend you a helping hand. People are going to come save you out of the trenches. It's life.
Mm.
This is just this dunya. This is this life that we go through, you know? And it's a beautiful journey if you let it be. I always don't know how to pronounce his name. What's his name?
Dostoevsky.
Yeah. I really struggle with his name. He's and Franz Kafka and Khalil Gibran and all of them, they talk about this. They talk about, like, philosophers, bro. You're talking about some of the best philosophers in the history of humanity. Mm. Talk about the need to go through pain to be able to embody and encompass more joy. How could you understand true joy if you haven't experienced true grief? How could you understand genuine gratitude if you have not experienced real, earth-shattering, life-changing loss?
Amen.
You know? And if some of the greatest minds in the world tell you, you need this, you need what life is putting you through, you need this pain, you need these tests to be able to feel joy, to be able to be happy, to be able to heal, to feel better, to know better.
Mm.
Why are you fighting it? Why are you fighting what life is?
Mm-hmm.
Life is a series of tests.
Exactly.
You know, get over the denial. Just get over it. Just honestly, do yourself a favor. Get over it. Such is life.
Mm-hmm. That's what the constant thing is. Like, you think you're going through a slump? There will be an uprise. You think you're on the top? There will be a fall.
You're like the stock market. You know what I mean? But I agree. So there's a beauty with that, right? Yeah. Now, some people, and this is the beauty with it. Some people tell you, yeah, life is ups and downs and, you know, like, khalas, and no, it's just hard. Or but they won't even realize the slumps.
Mm.
When it's down, they just see the down. And they don't even recognize there's an up coming. You know? But that's the beauty. Once you recognize this, and you recognize sometimes it's slowly like this, sometimes it's kind of slowly like this, sometimes it's literally this, right? When you recognize that roller coaster of a ride that is life, what is the only thing that you can do, Neetu?
Just be humble.
So how you react.
Yeah.
Yeah. So your behavior, your attitude, and your thought process throughout this roller coaster of a ride. So if a slump hits you, and all you're thinking is, khalas, it's the end of the world. I don't see a light at the end of the tunnel.
Mm.
Bro, are you stupid? 30 years on this world, on God's good green earth, and you haven't realized the pattern? You haven't seen how God saves your ass every time?
I know you're not, you're like, this is something that I learned through therapy, though. Like, actually, not
learning. I'm not against, listen.
Yeah, I know.
I'm not against it.
I know.
I am, but I'm not fully, you know what I mean?
I think
we've said this. I think some therapists are doing a great job.
Exactly.
One out of every 100,000.
100,000.
But that's just me.
But, like, my therapist, she made me realize, what going through therapy helped me realize is that I cannot control life.
Yeah.
I cannot control life. I've had shit happen to me time and time again. I've been put through situations time and time again.
Yeah.
But what I can control is my reaction to anything that life throws at me. Life gives you lemons. Make lemonade.
And lemon pie.
And lemon pie. Lemon meringue.
And lemon sorbet.
Lemon meringue.
And the lemon cheesecake.
Yeah.
I love lemon desserts, by the way.
Lemon kiwi. We're going off on a tangent now. Yeah. But, like, the point is, if life gives you lemons, okay, make some lemonade. But, okay, you know what? Sometimes life has a way of squeezing the lemon juice right into your eyes. And you feel like you can't see anything. You're in the dark. Your eyes are burning. Your whole body is burning. But guess what? What's the first thing you do? Go wash your eyes.
Yeah.
You control the reaction.
Yeah.
That's the only thing you can control.
And you're not taking away from the fact that it hurts. It burns.
It burns.
Yeah.
It'll keep burning for a couple of minutes.
Yeah, maybe even 2 days.
Maybe even 2 days. Your
you
eyes
might
will be
even need surgery. You might, God forbid, you might need medicine. You might need to put an eye patch on for a week.
But guess what? There is a way out. there is a way to control what like your reaction to what happened, and then the situation afterwards. So that's one of the only things that, like, yes, I've had shit happen to me.
Yeah.
That's not taking away from that.
Yeah.
Did I sit and believe that, oh my God, am I such a bad person that I'm having all of these bad things happen to me? I internalized that.
Yeah.
I'm like,
yeah, I get
and
that.
Then I had, and just, I'm like, okay, is it karma at this point?
Oof.
Like, am I getting,
you go through your head. Who did I hurt?
Who did I hurt? Like, I had so, like, one situation after the other, after the other, after the other. I'm just going through things, right?
It's like an avalanche. Domino effect.
Yeah,
for sure.
Domino effect of bad things. I'm like, okay, fine. Now, my initial reaction to that was, okay, I'm going to be overly nice and overly good and, like, you know, be there for everybody. Bring in, like, okay, you're with a toxic boyfriend who hits you. Okay, come live with me at the expense of my space, my time, all of that. Like, yes, that did help momentarily, but then did it help her in the long run? No. Did I help her heal from, like, no. And is that my job? No.
No.
Did I provide her a place of refuge momentarily? Yes.
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, but I became so overly empathetic. But that didn't change the next time life threw lemons at me.
Yeah.
And then that's when I realized, okay, life is going to constantly throw lemons at me. And it's exactly what you said. God is always going to test you.
Yeah.
Different stages of your life.
Yeah.
It's different sizes of lemons. Sometimes it could be limes.
I love me a good lime.
Right?
Throw a lime my way.
It could be a lime. It could be a lemon. Sometimes it could be a melon. Who knows?
A melon.
Jesus. Don't know.
Yeah, true. No, but you're so right. Babe, yeah. You know what? You're so right. And, you know, these lemons that are thrown your way.
Mm.
So how do I say? Okay, I'll tell you how I'll say this. We all have dreams, right? You have dreams of where you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
The kind of career you want to have, the kind of family, the kind of husband, the kind of house. Some people are really meticulous with their dreams.
Yeah.
Some people are detailed with their dreams.
Right.
And I like to be detailed with my dreams. Bro, I had, like, this studio in the house on my vision board. Do you know that I didn't even realize that in 2020 I did a vision board and I had a podcast on it?
Damn.
I didn't even realize. I've never had a dream of being a podcaster. I don't even know why I did that.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
How old are you, 2020? 26?
25. Ooh. 25. But do you know what I mean? Mm. And I came across it a few months ago and I was like, what the hell? Like, that's crazy.
Mm.
I didn't even remember that I put it on. But my point is, life sometimes, I always say life doesn't happen to you, right? Mm. And I only say this when it comes to the negative things. Like, we do attract certain things and we attract things in many different ways, either through our pain body or our claims or because you prayed for something so big.
Mm.
The bigger the dream, the bigger the test, you know?
Yep.
You go through Olympian training.
Amen.
Like, do you
say
know
that
how,
again. Yep.
Do you know how, how certain athletes are Olympians?
Yes.
They don't train like normal athletes.
No.
Olympics.
Yes.
Yeah. So if you have that dream, like we're talking about that dream, then you're going to be tested like an Olympian.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And subhanAllah, I put some big things on my vision board. I'm very limitless with my vision board. Mm. And I'm even careful. I've said this on another episode before where I'm like, even as big as I thought I was being on my vision board, I still put the intention of God, don't take this literally. If you have bigger dreams for me, bring them.
Mm.
If you have a better vision for me, bring it.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So I'm limitless with my vision board. But in 2020, and I was not mentally where I am now in 2020. I had no money. No money. and life humbles you when you have no money.
Oh, my God, yes.
When I first moved to Dubai, I lived in a bed bug, cockroach infested house. Like, I'm really one of the stories of came from nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my dad grew up in a mud house. The first time he ever slept on a bed, he was 16 or 17, you know? And I know what it's like to have money, and then I know what it's like to have nothing. And the whole of my adolescence and, like, all my teenage years from 13 up until just this past year or two is when I started making money. So I know what it's like to have nothing, right? Mm-hmm. So when I had nothing and I was in the victim mentality and I was mm-hmm. all of that, right? I was like, okay, vision, yalla Layla, we need to do this again. Vision board, right? Mm. And I asked for big things. It took 5 years for God to mold and train and get me to where I needed to get. If I had what I had now 5 years ago, bro, the disrespect.
Right?
I would have disrespected it.
Oh my God, yes.
I would have been entitled. I would have been like, yeah, of course, this is what I deserve.
This is something like really small and it might not be like,
go,
you know.
No, go for it.
But I had this, like a couple of years ago, I had this, you know, sometimes you can be materialistic.
Yeah.
Of course. And you know what? If you are materialistic, own it.
By the way, it's not haram. I'll just say, just to give a pointer, even my dad says this all the time, mm-hmm. because we talk about how he owns a business and I own mm-hmm. a business. It's not haram to want to live a good in life. This dunya. Yeah. It's not haram.
Yeah.
But we have, obviously, like, you have to give back your mentality, your humility, you know, your gratitude. But yeah, go on.
So I had this kind of like a dream that I wanted for myself. I wanted to have a MacBook, an iPad. I wanted to have a good phone. I wanted an iPhone.
I wanted
a watch, and I wanted AirPods, and I wanted to like be this Apple girly. And this was like, God knows, it was like 4 years ago, maybe like 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And then like a couple of months ago, I'm charging my laptop, my iPad, my phone, my watch, my AirPods, and I'm just like, did I f-ing make it?
Yeah, you made it.
Holy.
Yeah.
I made it.
Yeah.
Like, that's not to excuse, like, the situation that I am in now, which is okay, but I have these things. The things that I wanted a couple of years ago that I was, like, you know, I was, like, manifesting or whatever.
Yeah, because it seemed so impossible.
It seemed so impossible then. I have them now.
Yeah.
And holy hell, am I grateful.
Yeah.
And Kat is on my laptop, please.
Speaking of your MacBook.
I know. Anytime I'm feeling down or if I'm feeling like, ugh, you know, life's not going my way. Do I have friends that genuinely love me? Yes.
Oh.
Do I have people that genuinely inspire me to do better? Yes. Yeah. Do I have a car? Yes. Do I have the means to put petrol in that car? Yes.
Bro, miracles.
Like,
can I tell you something? To me, the fact that I have a car is a miracle. Mm. And people might... doesn't matter what people think. What matters is me and Allah. My first car that I ever got was 2 years ago.
Mm.
And by the way, that in itself is a blessing. Because mm-hmm. there are people that will live and die never even dreaming of owning a car.
Mm-hmm.
Tamam? So
mm-hmm.
let's just get that out of the way. That's a thing.
Mm.
You know? I've always wanted a car. And in Dubai, it's hard to be here mm-hmm. without a car, you know? Of course, there's a million methods of transportation. But for me personally, I just always wanted a car. So the first car I ever got, I got 2 years ago almost. No, literally 2 years ago. And I got it on a car loan, employee salary.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. And I was just out of my mind ecstatic.
Mm-hmm.
Bro, cried like a baby. Mm-hmm. I never thought in a million years I would own a car.
Mm-hmm.
And the way God allowed me to maintain the same level of enthusiasm and gratitude. Every day I walked to my car. I would do a little skip. My heart would get butterflies, like, that's my car, bro.
Yeah.
And it wasn't anything super special by any means,
yeah.
but it was a pretty cute, beautiful, like, just, yeah. it was mine.
It was yours.
It was mine. I did that, you know? Yeah. Like, God let me do that.
Exactly.
And then, now, upgraded, got an Audi. Mm. And, like, now I have a luxury car, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? And it's a really great car, and it's on the pricier side, and it's actually really expensive, and all of that stuff, which... it doesn't matter, that materialistic side, but what matters to me is that I went from bed bug cockroach infested to I can afford an Audi. And I just look, and it's crazy to me. Like, to me, that's a miracle that God did that for me, that God let me do that. Because some...
wouldn't your 13-year-old self just look at you and,
oh, my God. Oh, my God. You know, the thing, my metric to recognize where I'm at in life, if I'm where I need to be or if something needs to change, are two things and two things only. Does this satisfy Allah? And it's a clear cut yes or no. There's no yes, but maybe, no, but you know, no. It's a clear cut yes or no. And then I added a second layer to it, and it's a very important healing one, especially for my inner child. With 13-year-old Layla, feel very safe with you right now.
Beautiful.
And it's not a, yeah, but it's either a solid yes, yes or a no. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. There's no two ways about it. Is God okay with what I'm doing? Is 13-year-old Layla safe if she's around me right now? That's it. And those two are the thing that immediately realigns me. Immediately, I'm like, nope, you need to go back. Nope, we need to take a, you know, it's what keeps me centered and focused. Right. And I think that's really important.
That's actually, it's not that profound, but it is very just, it's so simple.
So simple.
That it, like anybody should be able to.
It is, you would think it's simple. You would think, honestly. But how many times a day are you going to stop yourself and be like, oh, is 13-year-old Layla happy with this? Because it's crazy. But by the grace of God, I've been able to become the person that I needed as a kid, you know? And it's so cliche and it's so weird, but it makes me so happy. It genuinely makes me so happy, and it just motivates me to want to dig even deeper and go further with this relationship with Allah, because I'm really becoming everything that I needed to see as a kid, you know? And I think it's I just think it's miraculous. And you would think it's an easy thing, but it's the same thing as when we say stop having negative thoughts. It's not an easy thing.
It's
you
can, not an easy
you
thing.
Know?
Yeah.
Like, are you controlling it? Are you keeping track of it? But those negative thoughts also have to do with your inner child, right? So all of those things, like every little, at least once a day I stop and I'm like, are we good? Yeah, we're good. You know what I mean? It's that constant,
like,
checking yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Powerful stuff.
Right. How do you want to wrap this up?
Yeah, do we wrap it up?
I think we'd be going, like, 1 second.
I have no idea.
Oh, we hit an hour.
Did we?
Yeah, on audio.
She's up. She literally went like.
Are you good? You good, bro?
Oh. But with the, let's wrap it up with the attachment styles.
Yeah. I don't think we can reach a conclusion to that yet. I mean, technically we can, in terms of, like, the mindset that you need to have to just heal yourself. Like, that's it.
It's for you.
It's for you at the end of the day.
Like, it is for you at the end of the day. And it's a fine line between self-preservation of, no, you gotta maintain your peace and everything you've worked hard for, and then empathy, right? And I think that falls into, this is where it's in the other person's hands and their intentions. If I see your intention is to do better, to be better, to find God, then it is my duty as a Muslim. I cannot close the door. I can't. Because what if that closing of the door makes you never come back?
Right, yeah.
And that's on me. And I can't have that on my soul. Because if someone had closed the door on me, I could have never come back. I could have. I could have just been like, these Muslims are too strict. They're too khalas. I want nothing to do with this. But here we are. So it is my duty to keep a door open, and it's the empathy. You know? My empathy needs to be stronger than anything. And empathy overrides feelings, it overrides opinion, it overrides whatever my ego thinks is right or wrong. Empathy needs to be your number one driving factor, because as a Muslim, it's the most important thing. To want for my brother what I want for myself. She made you.
Loony. It's nicely, like, rubbing your head. Okay, yeah, but empathy.
Yeah. Empathy is, as a Muslim, it's, you know, to want for my brother what I want for myself.
Exactly.
To want, yeah. You know, it's and it's hard. It's hard, because sometimes that could mean my brother having what I wanted before I even have it, and potentially me never getting it. But such is life, because maybe God has something bigger and better planned, which He always does.
Which He always does.
But empathy is the most important thing. There's a story. Oh, this is how we'll wrap it up. My dad had shared a story, and I'm going to butcher this, okay? But my dad...
Pause. Do you see a red light on the camera?
No.
I just want to check if it's the...
Don't tell me we're not filming.
No, you are. Reflexes. I'm Spider-Man.
Don't tell me we're not filming.
No, we don't.
I got so scared.
No, because usually Sony cameras have like a red light to show. And I just wanted to set, just check, because if the red light is blinking, that means the camera is either out of battery or like one of them things. But
no,
it's still rolling.
I don't
rolling.
See anything.
Yeah, but we're still rolling. So
we're good.
Okay. Sorry.
It's okay. It's all good. Better safe than sorry, right? Mm. We'll wrap it up with this. My dad had shared a story with me that I'm going to butcher. Well, I'm sure I'm going to butcher this. Mm-hmm. But there was a man who had been imprisoned mm-hmm. and wrongfully imprisoned for quite an amount of time, quite mm-hmm. a long time. And he was treated like garbage. It's one of those... Mm-hmm. It's one of those prisons, you know, mm-hmm. horrible food, horrible sanitary settings, and just the worst possible environment that you can imagine. Mm-hmm. And when he came out and he went back to his family and his guru and his mentor, they asked him, how was it? He cried. And they thought it was because of the atrocities mm-hmm. that he had endured. Mm-hmm. And he just said one thing. They almost made me lose my empathy. That's what he cried over. That he could handle the toughness. And he was grateful and God at the forefront of his mind. And this too shall pass. Mm-hmm. And what worried him was that for a second, he thought he would lose his empathy towards his prisoners. People who imprisoned him, excuse me. That is the power of empathy.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That is quite literally amazing.
It's really all that matters.
It's really all that matters, to be honest.
It's really
yeah.
all that matters.
You're right.
This was great. Thanks,
babe. This was great. Oh, I was just thinking, like, yay us. We came in. I came in at 7.
I came, I saw, I conquered. That was Nietzsche yeah. today. I came, I saw, I conquered.
I'm like, I'm going to make this happen no matter what
you
happens.
You did. God bless you. You did a great job.
Yep. We're good to go.
All right. This is episode... Well, now, obviously, I have to release this after my episode with Baba.
Yeah, of course. You have to.
Yeah.
That's the sequence now.
It is the sequence.
Because we spoke about stuff with the after we spoke to Baba.
Yeah, okay. All right. Yeah. Anyway, thank you guys so much. I think this is going to be episode 31, if I'm not mistaken, because my dad's episode 30
okay.
this morning. Perfect. This might be episode 31.
Damn, you did 2 episodes in a day.
Yeah, I did.
But we don't want to break that flow, so just don't redact what I'm saying.
No, it's fine.
Okay.
Totally fine. But yeah, we filmed 40 Rules of Love Part 3 and this. And the next time you see Dad, he's going to be here.
Yes.
Well, you don't see him. You hear him.
Yeah.
And he can literally chill and talk. And
Like I am doing right now.
And not be timed.
I'm just so laid back. I'm just like listening to you and we're talking. This is what it should have been from the beginning.
I know. But bro, like, alhamdulillah, by the grace of God, this stuff isn't cheap. Like, this
yeah.
stuff, it was an investment, you know?
Yeah.
And by the grace of God, God has blessed me enough. And subhanAllah, I acquired the funds or made it mm-hmm. enough to be able to do all of this with ease
mm-hmm.
at the right time. Divine timing. It was meant to happen now.
Yeah, to be fair. Yeah.
You know?
We kind of, get the conversations with your consciousness and the most comfortable setting.
Yeah. Also, I never would have met you. I had to go. I had to experience. I had to meet you. I had to try out different studios. And here we are.
Yeah.
Who else would I have called?
Oh, my God.
See? Divine timing.
Dude.
Yeah.
That's great.
Ain't no timing like God's timing.
I'm going to come back again.
Hell yeah. Oh, my God. You must.
I have to.
All right.
This is so much fun.
I really love this. Anjad, God bless you. God bless you, everyone. Thank you guys so much.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for being here.
Of course.
And assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Bye.